Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Jasmine Sandler, and I am a personal branding consultant. And I'm here today to interview a powerful female leader in business and entrepreneurship, Rachel Braun Sherrill. Rachel, welcome.
Thanks so much, Jasmine, and I appreciate the generous introduction.
Well, after getting to know you, it's very easy for me to brag about you. And I'm sure that my audience will agree.
Thank you. I hope you're right, but I like to under-promise and over-deliver.
Without further ado, I'd like you to tell my audience, who are primarily female business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives, a little bit about your personal background. Please state your full name, obviously your company name, and your website so they know where to go to ask you questions after the interview. And tell us about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Okay. My name is Rachel Braun Sherrill. I co-founded a company called Spark Solutions for Growth, among other companies. My website is sparksolutionsforgrowth.com. I've always had an intense interest in what makes people tick and in business. And the way that I've put those together is I focus my business, my strategy business, when I'm running product businesses, when I'm advising small companies, on helping them figure out how they get their users, their customers, their patients, whoever it is they're trying to reach, to raise their hand and give them currency for their products and services. And I consider that creative problem solving, and I tend to focus on women's businesses. My background, as I said, is in psychology. I have an MBA from Stanford and have, at this point, 20 plus years of business experience working in all different kinds of organizations, large and small, corporate and entrepreneurial. And I feel like that's given me a pretty broad perspective as it relates to creative problem solving and business growth.
Absolutely. It's a great background, and I'm sure people are excited to hear more. So now let's talk a little bit about you as a brand, as I talk about pretty much all the time, every single day on my website and everywhere else, the importance of the personal brand, getting to know you in a digital age. So I want to understand the mission of your own personal brand, how you're contributing to your industry and helping female entrepreneurs be the best that they can be.
Okay, well, I consider my industry, the one that I'm in, is strategy and business growth. So in terms of contributing to that community, I have to do good work in a professional way that people can trust, and they hire me again. That's the definition of how my business works. It's long-term relationships. As it relates to women in business and female entrepreneurs, I feel that to the extent that I could be helpful to someone, or conversely, they could be helpful to me, it's a great thing to do. I recently, about 7 or 8 years ago, met a woman who's considerably older than I am. And I remember saying to her, I wish when I had started my career, I had met you, because you have so many qualities of the kind of leader that I want to be. Instead of how a lot of us have to do it, is pretty much piecemeal and learn as we go. So if I could somehow be a shorthand for other women to avoid some of the mistakes I've made, to make different mistakes, to get to success as quickly as they want to, I feel that's, you know, something really special that I can do. And I have a 20-year-old daughter who's about to launch a career. And so I look at a lot of these young entrepreneurs as, what would I want someone to do for my daughter?
I love that. I actually was thinking I was going to bring my mom on the show. First of all, she's hilarious. And second of all, she's my role model. She went against all odds, and, you know, at a time where female doctors were frowned upon, and became an award-winning doctor, you know, with a great practice that she just retired from. So it's, you know, it's, I love what you do. I think it's fantastic. So for my audience, what are three tips that you can give these women business owners on building, growing, sustaining their businesses?
The first point that I always like to make is, you need to expect the unexpected. You know, I'm type A, like a lot of other business people, and you can draw out the best plan with the clear steps, with a beautiful long-range vision and the passion, and hopefully even the resources to get some of this done. And then real life and real business interferes. So you have to have a lot of confidence, a lot of focus, and really importantly, physical physiological and emotional endurance. Running a business is hard, growing a business is hard, and doing that in the context of all the other responsibilities that people have just adds to it. So you really have to want it, and you have to say to yourself, I am going to get through this, or over this next mountain, or through this next blockade, because I have a clear goal of where I want to get, even if the path doesn't look exactly the way I hoped it did, or the one that I envisioned in my journal or on my, you know, in my head.
Yeah.
The second piece is, I think that women especially, and I think this goes for everybody, but you asked me specifically about women, there are a couple fundamental skills that any business person must have. And so for me, I think that that is even, there are a number of skills that I think any business person has to have. I think you have to have a basic understanding, if not more than basic, of finance. You have to understand how to read a balance sheet. You have to know your way around a P&L. You have to know the terminology, because if you're in business, whether it's a nonprofit business or a for-profit business, you have to bring in more revenue than you have in costs. It's a very simple equation. There are a lot more complexities to it, but at the bottom line is you have to have enough money to keep the lights on. So that's number one. Number two is, ultimately, any business that I think you go into involves sales. You're selling a product, you're selling an idea, you're selling a service, you're selling a car, you're selling an app. And in pretty much every category that you would go into, you have competition. You have to figure out how to get people to be interested in either replacing what they're currently doing with your solution, or adding a new solution or a new activity or a new product to what they're already doing. That takes a lot of work. We're even more so with every day, we're bombarded with thousands of things we can't even process. So how are you going to sell, which is having a great product, being able to communicate what it is, and figuring out a way to get through this ever expanding, exhausting mountain of clutter that we have both off and online. And importantly, I would do all these things in the context of figuring out what you want to stand for. I have like to believe, and I think I do, and act on a fundamental set of principles. And lots of people have them, and you know, lots of people have lures and things that might pull them off. But my fundamental rule for how I engage with people, how I interact, how I conduct my business and my life is, I say what I mean and I mean what I say. Doesn't mean you won't ever have misunderstandings, but I believe that it's more efficient, because people know when they deal with me that there's no fluff, that there's not a hidden message. And I think it engenders trust and enables you to focus on the objectives.
I couldn't agree with you more. If you're direct, there's no miscommunications.
Well, I wouldn't say if you're direct, there are no miscommunications. I think you reduce your chances.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people at least know what to expect. And I think being unpredictable as a business partner is very dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. Having a clear vision. So you gave us some great tips. So what are some of the biggest mistakes you've actually seen business owners, women business owners, male business owners make? And what advice would you give them?
I think that people expect to have perfect information. They want to have lots of risk taken out of a decision, certainly the ones that are important to their business. And I think it's important to have a point of view with the data you have, make the best data-informed, risk-assessed decision you can make, and be aware and responsive as new information comes in that either reinforces the decision that you've made or suggests perhaps you need to go in a different direction, sometimes a slightly different direction, sometimes a dramatically different direction. Another piece I would say is, I'm always interested, and this is a tip from years of consulting, I always want to find the smartest person in the figurative or literal room. I always want to find the smartest person in the room, literally and figuratively. So if there's something I don't know, I have learned for me, it's a lot more efficient to find someone who's done this 100 times and knows how to do it well than for me to do it. And you have to think of it in terms of opportunity. You have to think of these things in terms of opportunity cost and learning curve. Where else could I be spending my time and energy that might more effectively be growing my business?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important to delegate and delegate well as a business owner. Otherwise, you can't really get your job done. So now let's talk about success. Can you provide one great example of a client's success? Tell us about it a little bit.
So I'd like to tell you one of my favorite stories about a business that I was running in the area of female sexual satisfaction, which always gets people's ears to perk up. We have this product that improved arousal, desire, and satisfaction for women and had a great profile, lots of clinical proof, and a good safety profile. And we couldn't get 95% of the media outlets to literally take our money to run our ads. That was cable. Network was out of the question. It was online. It was radio. Wherever we looked, people felt uncomfortable and weren't that direct about it with the topic. So after spending months and months and meeting with network executives and trying as many strategies as I could think of, which I think is very important. When you hit a roadblock, you have to figure out a way around it. When it became clear that I wasn't going to be able to crash my hard head through the cement wall, I said, if I can't get people to sell me media, I'm going to use that as the basis of my media strategy. So we developed a media strategy where we said, hey, isn't this crazy? We hear about ED drugs all the time, every minute of the day or night. That's great. Why is it so difficult to speak a positive message and make a positive offering with a product that at least gives women a choice, that to talk about a product that at least gives women a choice to educate themselves and learn about options that they might have? So we kicked off the strategy with an article in the New York Times that really talked about the disparity between men's and women's advertising as it related to sexuality. And we were off to the races. We got more publicity from this story about not being able to buy media than potentially we would have gotten if the cable stations and the radio stations and the online properties actually said, we'll take your money.
I love that. It's a great example of creative brainstorming, getting around challenges. And I love what the topic is. So that leads me to my next question. I'm sure that people's ears do perk up when they hear the story at your live talks. And I know you do a lot of speaking, both to corporate audiences and universities. So can you help our, you know, the audience understand, what does a Rachel talk involve? What can they expect when they come hear you speak?
I like that. When someone comes to a Rachel talk, what they expect is to get the real truth, according to me. This is no one else's story. This is my story. It's authentic. I believe it. I experienced it. So I don't share stories that happened to somebody else. I share the real challenges I faced, the real failures, the hiccups, and the successes. I talk about what it's actually like to make these decisions, what it's like to be in the trenches. I think if you look at the media oftentimes and you're a young entrepreneur, you think, I'm going to hang my shingle, I'm going to launch my business, and it's going to be a unicorn, it's going to be valued at $1 billion tomorrow. Even for those unbelievably fabulous success stories, everybody has bumps along the way. So what I give people, I think, is the belief that they can overcome some of those obstacles. Theirs will be different than mine will be. Mine were different than somebody else's, but you can do it. I also grew up watching all these classic comedies, and I bring in not only cultural references, but I find there's so many quotable quotes from my favorite movies. So I weave that in with humor that actually demonstrates how some entertainment actually could be illustrative and educational in teaching business. Okay, that was blah, 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 blah. When you come to a Rachel talk, you can expect the real truth according to me. I talk about what happened to me. I'm honest. I don't sugarcoat. If something was a disaster, I tell the story of the disaster and how horrible that meeting was. If it was great, I talk about that euphoric feeling of success. And I give some insight into what it's like on a day-to-day basis, at least as it has been for me, to build and grow a number of businesses. I think it's important, especially for young entrepreneurs, to have a realistic sense of some of the things that are required. Years ago, there used to be this commercial on for Dunkin' Donuts, and there was a guy featured who was the donut maker, and he would be the first one in the shop.
I think his name was Tom.
His name was Tom. Okay, Tom the donut maker.
Yes.
At the crack of dawn. And so whenever I've interviewed someone to work for me or with me, I always ask the question, are you willing to make the donuts? Are you willing to do the stuff that's not glamorous? Are you willing to go to Staples and get the pads if today you're VP of supplies? You know, you really should understand that you're not standing on a podium or always on a Gulfstream, if you're so lucky, in the course of running business. Even the most successful business people spend time doing the nitty gritty and the mundane, but you have to stay focused on why you're doing that. And I think I give people an approachable, believable, and hopefully humorous way to relate and ask questions and interact with someone's personal experience.
That's great. And that's, you know, and I love what you said about how you bring the entertainment into the business education, because they're both equally important. You know, when you go to a talk, you want to get entertained, you want to learn, and you want to walk away with something. So that being said, can you tell us about your upcoming speaking engagements where people can come see you talk?
Coming up, I'll be traveling to Stanford University, where I'll be talking to a bunch of undergrad students, primarily from Duke University, as well as a number of other schools around the country who have raised their hands and expressed an interest in entrepreneurship. And I will be focusing on really the day-to-day of being an entrepreneur, which I've talked about to you over the course of this interview. You know, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the funny stuff, the terrifying stuff. So they can ask questions and maybe figure out if they can actually envision themselves in a role like that, where there's a lot less structure than there might be in some of the other jobs they're thinking about. I'm also doing a webcast for Elevate, which was formerly 85 Broads, on finding your leadership voice. I spent a lot of time in the course of...
And what's the date on that for women in the audience?
On August 4th, I'll be doing a webcast, or as they call it, a jam session for Elevate. On finding your leadership voice, which is really about, you have a business idea, you have a plan, you have a strategy. How are you going to communicate in a way that's effective? And in my mind, effective is motivating people to do what you need them to do to grow your business.
Okay, great. And I know that you also write quite a bit on these subjects. So where can people go to read your posts?
I write monthly for Huffington Post. Just look for my name, Rachel Braun Sherall. And I write on a range of issues: leadership, entrepreneurship, communication, the language that we use around marketing. I take actual things that are happening in the news and talk about what I think the implications are from a business perspective. And it's my way of constantly thinking and constantly learning. And I do research and I interview other people and thought leaders and read books. And it's another way that I keep, hopefully keep my mind sharp and my brain stimulated, and I'm constantly learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. So lastly, what one piece of advice, if you just have one piece of advice, would you leave with, your last word for the interview for our audience?
So there's a quote from a movie that I watched 1,000 times when I was growing up, a sports movie, and there's one line and it's, no timeouts, no substitutions. And in the context of the movie, that was about a game that you play to the death, which is sort of gory and doesn't sound that inspirational. But the way that my dad has translated it for me in his personal and professional life, and the way that I've translated it, I hope, for myself and my family in my personal and professional life, is get up every day, give it everything you got, go home, come back and do it again. You are important. People are relying on you. It doesn't mean you're alone. It doesn't mean you don't have a team. Things are expected of you. You have to expect things of yourself. Go out and do what you said you were going to do, and work as hard as you can and as smart as you can and as kindly and effectively as you can, and then come back the next day and do it again.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Rachel. This has been very inspirational, I'm sure, to everyone listening. I love the stories and the advice. And, you know, it's all about what you said about speaking. I hope they take action. So for those of you that are watching, if you'd like more information on Rachel, you can visit Spark Solutions for Growth. And this video will be capped with Rachel's profile on my blog for those of you that are interested in learning more.
Thanks so much, Jasmine.
Thank you.